Okay, I have been saving this memory. We've laughed a lot tonight, but I've been saving this memory specifically. If I were to say to you, blow up slide, broken ankle, chewing gum, radiator, French, between two nations, between two holidays, between a rock and a hard place, would you know what I'm talking
I'm in the middle
about?
of Poe.
Yes.
Burkina
Yes. Tell the people what is happening.
Oh my goodness. With that story or with just
Yeah, just
life?
well, look, I'm gonna do it. So we had gone for Christmas in Burkina, and I'd gone down a blow-up slide. I ha landed on a child that had been bullying me. So that was poetic justice. But I broke my ankle. And so we're making,
Yes,
how many
Lord have
hours is the
mercy.
trip home?
Well, from the border would be at least 12. So you have to
Yeah.
go from Ouagadougou to the border. So I don't know, it's like 16 hours or something crazy.
And so, like, our car breaks down. I'm first of all, I'm sitting in the front seat. We're in the desert. Everyone is crammed in the back seat. Everyone hates me. Like, I have an ice pack. The ice is like water. But mom is insisting
My
I keep it on my
word.
ankle. And then the car breaks
Yeah,
down.
the radiator like blows up or something, and I come up with the brainy idea that we have Hubba Bubba in the car, so everybody like starts chewing Hubba Bubba, and I take my fingernail file and I
Yes.
plug the hole. And they actually said that if we hadn't put the cap back on, it would have worked.
Oh.
And I'm like, oops, we shouldn't have put the lid back
So,
on, I guess.
like,
I don't know.
so you're the only one that speaks French. Nobody speaks English. Everything is closed for the holidays. We're in a hotel. We're in a hotel. The chickens.
Oh, can I tell you that the whole I stayed with Kendra,
Yes.
okay? And there was this rooster that would never shut up. Like it crowed all hours of the night. It was like blind and jet lagged or something. I don't know.
Yes.
Anyway, so Kendra wakes up one morning. She's like, "If that thing doesn't be quiet, I'm gonna put it in the stew pot." Like she was so aggravated. It was
Is
hilarious.
that chicken? Does not shut up. Oh, I can't. So that is the story of us in the desert fixing our car with
Oh,
Hubba Bubba
it was
and
a
your
blast.
limited knowledge of French.
Well, it was really weird though, when all of a sudden like they start like bolts and nuts and everything just goes flying, and all of a sudden the engine drops to the ground, and
Just
I'm
fell
like
out. Just fell out
I'm
the
just
car.
standing there, my eyes are like big as saucers.
Excuse me, ma'am. Can
Oh.
you in French?
I have no clue
Can
what's
you in
going on.
French? Please figure out the situation.
Oh
Ugh.
man.
I just want to bring that up. We're gonna get started now. Hi, I'm Melinda Poitras, and you're listening to He Said, She Said, The Wine with Books and Bros. I am here with missionary Colleen Carter. When I first met her, I was 10 years old. She was our aimer. That was a few years ago,
Yeah, just a couple.
a few short years ago. No one do this math, but she's been on the mission field 21 years since then. Obviously, a fully appointed missionary. But the biggest piece of home to me, and I just loved tonight. I just want to say that, like, these people don't care, but I just want to say that, like, I just feel
It
like
was awesome.
that
We
I'm
had
like
fun.
11 and we're playing hide and seek in the dark and the electricity's gonna go out and we're gonna eat Frankie's ice cream.
Yeah,
And it's
that's
just a
awesome.
gift to be able to talk about things and, like, you have a frame of reference point geographically and, like, emotionally and spiritually, but it's also a gift to be in your life. And I look up to you and I admire you so much. And you're exactly what I'd like to be when I grow up because you're a servant. And I think I want to start there. When you came on AIM and you became our parents' favorite child immediately, there have been articles written about this and they're well deserved. There was a phrase that you said to them and you lived it with your life. So why don't you talk to us about that?
Well, basically, it started with my mentor telling me when I was in Bible school. She actually came in. My mentor is Lynn Jewett, missionary to Guatemala. And she came and she talked about being an extra set of hands to the Dross family. And I'm in Bible school drinking it in. And when I figured out I was going on AIM, I decided, you know what? I'm going to be an extra set of hands. And one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is in Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And so it didn't really matter what I was asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was there to help. I was there to serve, not be served. And so there was a few times that I like would say to your dad, I don't think that's on my job description. like catch the chickens in the courtyard. Yeah, remember that at Christmas? That was quite interesting.
They were running rampant.
Yeah. And I'm supposed to catch them. Like I have never caught a chicken before in my life. Anyway, but it was just, it didn't matter. It was like, if the dishes needed to be done, we do them. If the floor needs to be swept, we sweep. If we need to teach Sunday school, we teach Sunday school. And from that, I believe the Lord developed my ministry.
Right.
And if you're willing to do anything for the kingdom, God will take you anywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
And you didn't just say that. You lived it with your life. And it really has, I mean, it really has shaped my life. I'm not just saying that.
Well, I'm glad.
Other things that have shaped my life. I'm currently, as you guys know, a fifth grade teacher at New Life Academy where I do the same fifth grade curriculum that I learned in school, but my teacher was Colleen. And so I often am revisited by your ghost during math class.
Oh, dear.
During math class when they're like, I just can't do it. I'm stupid. Just trying to be patient.
I remember like the pencil going by my head. I can't do it. I'm stupid. I was like, well, if you know, you're a lot of things, but stupid's not one of them.
Thank you. Let's put that on my tombstone. She was a lot of things, but stupid
was definitely not one of them. You just didn't like math.
No.
And it was my job to try and drag you through it.
And it was at that time that she regretted most saying that she would be an extra set of hands.
And no, we enjoyed it. We had fun.
We always have fun.
It was a blast.
Yep. Speaking of school and books, you were telling me about a book in the car that you've been reading, or that you loved, by Mark Batterson, maybe?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, he's my favorite author.
Okay.
And I've read basically everything the man's written.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main reasons why I like him is because he makes me think.
Mm-hmm.
And so Whisper is actually one of the books that I really, really like, although I like most of them, mm-hmm. you know. But it's how God, sometimes we're expecting him to be in the boom and the bang and the storm and
yeah.
the excitement. And it's kind of like how he was born.
Mm-hmm.
Some people thought he should have come in on the big white horse, you know, yes. big triumphal entry when he was born as a little baby in a barn, you know, behind right. the scenes. And the scripture in, I believe, 1 Kings, where it talks about the storm and the
yes,
the thunder fire and mm-hmm. you know, but sometimes he speaks in the still small voice.
Yes,
and so a lot of time in my life, I've found myself, especially recently,
mm-hmm.
just sitting there, you know, with your cup of coffee and letting God whisper.
Yeah,
and when you do that, you learn a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. You learn a lot from God. Speaking into your spirit,
mm-hmm.
and you become a better person because of it. If you'll just listen, and sometimes he whispers.
Yeah, you have to be quiet to hear that.
Yeah,
which I would never say is a problem that I have, and neither would you. Many times, let's also talk about, you're in a time of transition currently. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that, and then maybe a word to those who might also be in a season of transition.
Okay. I served 20 years in the nation of Ghana.
Yeah.
And so that was a very life-changing experience for me. Mm-hmm. And just went through a lot of different things that helped mold and shape me into what I am today. But this last term, when I went in June of 2015,
mm-hmm.
I felt in my spirit that this was my last term there.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, you know, if someone had asked me why, I knew that. I just didn't. I just felt it in my spirit that time was winding down in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
So I just began to open my spirit to say, okay, God, where am I going? What am I doing? And I do speak French. So I kind of felt that that would be a part of my future.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, it just kind of worked out that the country of Gabon was mentioned to me
mm-hmm.
and just pray about it. And when I was praying about it one day, I was in my home in Ghana. And all of a sudden I had this thing come on my phone. It was like an interview with somebody. And it was a lady asking a mentor of hers, when do you know if something is the will of God?
Right.
And the man said, well, do you feel like something is the will of God? And she said, yes, I do. And he said, well, if you do, take a step in that direction. Mm-hmm. And until God puts up a stop sign, keep going. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's where I'm at
right.
with the whole Gabon thing. Because I really couldn't solidify it and say like definite, boom, yes, I feel called to Gabon mm-hmm. at that time.
Right.
Because I was just praying about it and fasting and saying, okay, God, you know, I'm open to this, but is that where you want me? Mm-hmm. And so I just told my leadership, I feel to take the first step. Mm-hmm. And if God puts up a stop sign, then I'll know that definitely this isn't his will.
Right.
And then as time progressed, obviously I definitely felt a yeah. peace about going to Gabon, but it was just that faith and that submission to step in mm-hmm. that direction. And God just led in a way that this transition now to a country where I am the only resident missionary mm-hmm. and I am the first resident missionary.
Yeah.
It's a big change.
Yes.
It's quite a difference. Mm-hmm. But if you will let God lead, it's amazing the places you will go.
Yeah.
Dr. Seuss was like, yes, really cool.
Yes, he was very, like, very, you know, accurate.
Imagine it, like all the places you will go in life. And it's just when you put yourself in God's hands, mm-hmm. there's no stopping. There's no end to the possibilities
right.
of where you could end up. Mm-hmm. And it's an adventure. It's an exciting adventure. Mm-hmm. My word for life is interesting.
Yeah.
It can be a good interesting or it could mm-hmm. be a bad, but it's still interesting because it's like an adventure. You never know exactly what's going to happen, but it's like, cool, bring it on.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That is awesome. I did not ask you if I could ask you this.
Okay.
but I kind of want to because I trust the way that you're going to answer. So this is my trust fall.
Oh, dear.
My leap of faith. I had been to, obviously I'm involved in global missions, and I had been one time with to watch some kids during orientation, and everybody had gone out to dinner, and I was with a single woman missionary who was not you, so
okay,
yes, don't worry. But I noticed we were at the table, it's just one of the things I noticed, and like all the men missionaries were sitting at the table with like the director and their RDs and, you know, whatnot. And then, like, the wives were at the Cracker Barrel and they were sitting at another table. And then, like, the woman missionary was sitting with the missionary wives. And I was like, and the RD wives and, you know, all of that. And I was kind of like, hey, you know, like, I feel like she probably has some policy questions that she might need answered or, you know what I mean? Like, any of those things. Like, what's up with that? And the person in Global Missions whose ear I have, who will remain unnamed, I wonder who it could be, was like, what? And I was like, you know, like, how she is the missionary and she is sitting at a separate table. And so it's just like cute. And I consider that to be cute and innocent. I'm not like, oh, the patriarchy. But it's just like cute things like that. That are kind of the lead into the question, you know, like what are some challenges maybe that you have faced as a single woman in ministry? And then how do we steward that well? How do we steward that appropriately without burning pantsuits? I don't know. I don't know what people do. Fly off into a rage, demanding to sit at the man's table at Cracker Barrel. You know what I mean? Like how, anything you want to say about that, I think that we would like to hear.
The thing is if you will let God open the door, mm-hmm. Again, you will end up in places that you never thought possible. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been easy mm-hmm. being a single lady in a man's world.
Right.
I will be honest, it just hasn't at times. And then you run into cultural aspects of that can make it even more difficult.
Exactly.
but if you will let God open the door, mm. and yes, I am a lady in leadership, but I'm still a lady.
Right.
And I don't force doors open. Mm. And if you will simply let God do that, I remember being at a meeting, and I think it was in Panama.
Okay.
And it was all the African missionaries. We had split by regions mm-hmm. to have meetings. Mm-hmm. And it was that scenario. All the men were around the table and the women were sitting off to the side mm-hmm. because we all had to be in the room, but it was really only the men that had the vote.
Right.
However, I am a missionary.
Exactly.
And so the meeting was about to be started, and two of the senior missionaries, they spoke up and they mm-hmm. said, sorry, but the meeting cannot be started. And the leader was like, why? They said, not all the missionaries are at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there, like, I could have forced my way in.
Right.
Or sit back and let God open the door.
Yeah.
And when I was, obviously, tears came to my eyes when these two senior missionaries who are old enough to be my father.
Yeah.
Split their chairs and made space for my chair between them.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. It was just like, okay, when you hold your peace
right.
and let the Lord step in,
mm-hmm.
he opens, he just kind of parts the ways for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been able to travel to countries as the speaker in different conferences and different sessions, mm-hmm. different training seminars, taught in Bible colleges, etc.
Mm-hmm.
That if you try and force your way in,
right.
then the door will get shut.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're dealing with a lot of different cultures.
Right, exactly.
But if you let God open the door
mm-hmm.
and just simply stand in the background until God opens the door. And mm-hmm. when he gives the green light, step in authority, yeah. speak in authority. But then when it's time to step back, step mm-hmm. back. And if you learn to do that as a lady,
mm-hmm.
then I'm serious. God will open doors of opportunity that yeah. it's absolutely astounding.
Yeah.
So I have learned to read people.
Yeah.
So in some places I'm a teacher. I teach with emphasis.
Yes.
And so there's even several churches I've just said, no, I'm not a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a teacher. And people laugh at that. They think it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I teach with emphasis. And that's where I really find that my ministry is a teacher. And so if you let God open the door, he definitely will open it.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll take you places you never thought were possible.
Yeah. I'm so glad I asked this question. I'm literally patting myself on the back right now. That was so good.
Way to go.
I think the final question, or close to the final question I have is, and I also didn't prep you for this one, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
As a woman, just tell me something that the men in your life have done to further your ministry.
Oh my goodness, wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm very sorry. I could have prepped you better for that.
No, that's okay. Basically, they have given me the stamp of approval.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for example, I worked with your family, right?
Yes, so, exactly.
Your dad gave me opportunities as my leader
mm-hmm.
that maybe not everyone else would have, but he saw potential. He saw God leading me
mm-hmm.
and gave me an opportunity to do something
right.
that helped me to see, okay, you know what? This is really cool. I like this.
Mm-hmm.
This is my ministry. So, like, for example, I thought your dad was crazy the day he handed me, like, a whole stack of files and was like, okay, we need a book for poetical books.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And I'm like, we need a what?
Mm-hmm.
We need a textbook. We don't have a textbook for this course.
Right.
And we need you to make one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, my word.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, for Christian Living, et cetera, different books that I worked on in Ghana. But that opened... It pushed me and it mm-hmm. stretched me, but yet it showed me that he had confidence in me.
Yes.
To prepare a textbook that would be used not only in Ghana,
like yeah, right.
the Christian Living book, I don't even know how many languages exactly. right now that it's in.
Mm-hmm.
But it pushed me to do things for the school that I'm not there for. It doesn't matter if my name's on it. It's not for my glory, it's for God's glory. But it was just, he saw the potential and pushed me to do something beyond what I thought I could do. When in reality, the Lord was just preparing me for the future. Mm-hmm. Like,
exactly.
Now I will be the director of a Bible school.
Exactly.
You know? Mm-hmm. So my arriving in Ghana to be primarily with you and Kandra in your schooling has progressed to I'm the director of a Bible school. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot that's happened in 21 years. Mm-hmm. But it has, like, if you look back, hindsight's always 20/20.
Right.
But if you look back, like, I can see God preparing me for now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, yeah, there's, you know, several other leaders in that have had faith in me. For example, like, just on deputation, like, all the pastors that hand over their pulpit.
Yes.
And, you know, they're not... They just hand it over and say, okay, sister, tell us your heart. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, you trust me to do that. And then they support me to go and work for the Lord. Like, it's absolutely amazing. It blows my mind how God... But if I were to try and bulldoze my way in, those doors would have been shut.
Right.
So if I could say anything to the ladies that are listening, you know, remember you're a lady.
Mm-hmm.
God will anoint you.
Right.
God will use you, and he will, you know, give you a ministry that is very powerful, very anointed. But you don't have to be a bulldozer. You can still be the frilly-fied, you know, lace-wearing lady that, and still be a power punch in the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I believe that with all my heart.
Me too. All right. Last question. It's not a trick question. It's just like a bonus question. You used to say a phrase to me. We haven't talked about this tonight either. You used to say a phrase to me all the time about a virtue that I need to develop. Do you remember?
Do you remember? Patience is a virtue. Melinda, did you get skipped?
Yes. I can't. Patience is a virtue. Did you get skipped? And I think about that all the time because I did. And it is a virtue that I still am learning to develop. And I've developed so much more of it.
You're not the only one. Yes, it was like the kettle calling the pot black there because I was needing to learn it myself. So don't feel bad.
I think we've both come a long way in that department. But I just think that there's something good to be said there about the development of patience and fulfilling your role and doing your best and serving with your heart and your hands until someone says, oh, hey, yeah, not all the missionaries are at the table.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing what God will do.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's really amazing. Like, if you had asked me when I got on the plane to go to Ghana in February of 2000, that I would be where I'm at right now, I would have thought you were like totally crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look back over my life, you know, it's just, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I just stand amazed. I stand in awe of what God has done.
Yeah.
Big time.
Your life is a beautiful picture of faithfulness. It's a beautiful picture of faithfulness to the Lord and his work. But honestly, it's, and people's life paths went different ways. So I'm not saying anything negative about anyone. But it is also a testament of faithfulness to me because everybody left except you. I left and went to college.
You stayed
many years after that. Mm-hmm. So let's all just continue to practice the development of patience. And let's remember that when we are faithful, God is faithful too. And ladies, be fierce warrior princesses and preach with power punches, but also remember that you're a lady. And gentlemen, be gentlemen and open doors for your lady friends. Absolutely. Not just the ones at the mall or in the car. Open doors, because you guys are really equipped to do that. And let's all remember to give everyone a seat at the table, and let's all be better together.
You've been listening to He Said, She Said, where whether we actually got around to discussing any books or chatting with any bros or not, we are, now and always, so glad you stopped by to listen. We hope your time here cemented the truth found in the best book ever written, and and deepened your relationship with a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Thank you for pressing play. Thank you for making space. We'll catch you next week, same time, same place.